Hollywood harassment and a long-lost lizard returns.
Hello, and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for November 27th, 2017. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
Thank you, Janine Fadich, and thank you all for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. Let's jump right in, shall we?
We shall. You started off with harassment in Hollywood, and you even, like, put a little thing from a strip from 2004.
Yeah. You know, it's, and the whole concept of that day strip was, how could we have known? Who could have known about the Weinstein and all the other, you know, the Kevin Spacey stuff and all this other garbage that's rolling out of there now, and the stories of sexual harassment. And here's the thing: we're not talking about just saying something naughty to someone. We're not talking about. We're talking about, like, you know, the Charlie Rose taking, you know, walking into a meeting naked. Which, you know, I have to admit, I go to a lot of meetings now.
No one ever is naked?
Almost no one, yeah.
Almost.
I'm saying, really, no one walks in naked. It never occurs to, I don't believe it occurs to any of us to walk in naked. So, yeah, I mean, that whole thing, the wine scene. My point being that we're not talking about some innocent, maybe one time just saying something stupid or saying something off color, maybe just trying to be a buddy and you step over a line. I mean, all, you know, you can, there are times when that's the case, but these aren't those times. And so what's interesting is from the year 2004, when the strip actually first started, I had done one where Carmen and Winslow go to Hollywood and they get harassed in a pretty crude way. I got tons of emails on that and letters on how crude the strip was and how awful,
right,
and how dare I show this and how it's disgusting it was, blah, 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 blah. Well, guess who's having the last, well, I guess I can't have laugh
no,
at this.
No, it's not much of a laugh.
It's just disgusting, but, you know, the scumball. We knew then. And here's how I learned some of this stuff is that I gave myself 2 years to sell a show in Hollywood. We were living in Arizona. I'd fly out to Hollywood and pitch shows. Came pretty close a couple of times, but didn't. And that was a shame, and life would have been very different, yeah, I suspect. But anyway, so, I mean, got to go take a meeting and did lunches. And this was back in 1994, 95, before I took the job at the Birmingham News in Birmingham, Alabama in 1996. So, you know, it just was a pervasive kind of a thing, and it was not a secret. And so I'm glad I got to. Did someone comment on these things?
Several comments.
Okay.
First of all, we got one from 45 Nasrad, who said, all Hollywood knew for years what was going on and said nothing. They empowered the people like Weinstein to continue their vile actions. I hold both Weinstein and liberal Hollywood idiots accountable, to which TimBob2313 responded, I think that placing the word liberal just denotes your own tribalism and bigotry. The truth is that both Republicans and Democrats share blame equally. There are right-wing actors, yes? Yet they said nothing. And then he goes on and discuss Arnold Schwarzenegger and Judge Roy Moore. And he says, the GOP that I belong to would never allow that. My GOP placed country ahead of politics. Today's places party and power far above love of country. Really glad I became an independent.
Wow. You know, that's an issue. That's a separate issue and one I'm going to touch on in the strip in the next few weeks. It's just the idea that because the person, your person, has an R or a D after their name, whatever they do, well, you know, yeesh. As we're recording this thing, we're discussing, I love these senior moments. Roy Moore, of course, but and who's being defended. And, you know, by the way, he was just looking for innocence, or he was in the Bible, and my grandma was blah, blah, blah. But Al Franken. We're discussing that. And you know, he's, oh, well, this wasn't, but it really wasn't that big. You know, it's a time. And it turns out it wasn't a one-time thing. There are more women coming forward. And they're starting to look at his the sketches he wrote for Saturday Night Live, which apparently are pretty sexist. And, you know, that's, but because he has a D after his name, is he going to get, you know, get away with it? He says he's not going to quit. As we're recording this, Congressman Conyers has stepped away from his senior position on the Judiciary Committee. But, you know, over the weekend, you have Nancy Pelosi, who should know better, being a woman, saying that, you know, Conyers is calling him an icon.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, I think that Joe kind of sums this up. Joe writes, it is not a Hollywood problem, folks. By portraying men's abusive behavior towards women as something that happens in that slime pit, you essentially participate in the cover-up. It's happening in your hometown too, Scott. probably closer than you'd like to believe.
Oh,
I'm afraid he's right.
Oh, I'm afraid. I know he's right. I mean, that's what, and I come back to this, and then we'll go on to the next subjects here. But I do want to, I've reiterated this point a number of times. I think it bears repeating. These cases are not just like some prurient, you know, titillating little stupid juvenile comments. This is actual assault. Okay, grabbing someone and rubbing your junk against them is assault. Doing this, and by definition, this is also abuse. And the cycle of abuse is simple. When the abusers are shamed into silence, and that is exactly what's happened with these cases. Well,
not
what?
The abusers, the abusees.
Isn't that what I said?
You said the abusers.
No, I apologize. The abusees are shamed into silence. And so I did a piece about my own experience with physical abuse when I was a kid. And the response has now reached over a million, and it will continue to climb. I had no idea how common that was.
Yeah.
And now we're all stunned, and frankly, I am a little bit. I have to be being, you know, a male. I'm frankly surprised. Excuse me, that this is so pervasive and so common. And again, not just some silly little comment. We're talking about abuse and we're talking about assault. And so I'm glad this is coming out. And who was that who wrote the last comment?
It was Joe.
Joe. Okay. Joe? Just Joe?
Yes, just
okay.
Joe.
Well, Joe is absolutely right. It's not a Democrat thing. It's not a Republican thing. You know, we all have our tribes now. And apparently we will not cotton what the other tribe does and we will defend everything ours does. To our own ends. And that's a terrible way to run a country. It's a terrible way to run a culture. It's a terrible way to run a life. So the next issues we talked about, Dio returns. Now, Dio was a character I've kind of brought back and forth over the last the strips now. Like I said, started in 2004. It's now 2017. So it's been around for 13 years. And over those 13 years, Dio's his comic. He's been there and then he wasn't. And then
right.
He was. I never could quite get my creative teeth into him and really make sense of him, but it just made sense in this story arc, which is he deserted. It was very much like Bo Bergdahl, which is exactly what this is supposed to reflect. And so he left, and I like the fact that nobody really notices that he left.
Well, you mentioned in
back.
One of the strips that he left me because of the stresses, and maybe that was Carmen.
Yes.
And I liked what Kyle of Lalkalsh said. Well, Carmen, you've worn the same
clothes. Oh, wait,
clothes.
Kyle of what? Well, go back.
Kyle of Lalkalsh. I can never say that quite right, so that's my regular comment.
You said it like you speak French. Oui.
I cannot speak foreign languages. I apologize for that.
Well, go on, I'm sorry.
But he says, well, Carmen, you've worn the same clothes for the last 10 years. Why Winslow is around you is a mystery.
That's true, and there's no evidence that anyone actually, there's no actual adults taking care of them. I did that on purpose. I mean, it's obviously, first of all, it's a comic strip, so, you know, let's bear that. I mean, Charlie Brown wore the same zigzag shirt.
All of them wore the same
every day,
clothes every
for
day.
50 years. So, you know, I hope I get to 50 years. That'd be great. Although, maybe not, because then I'll be like
And then 100. You have Dio in the Wilderness.
Yes.
And people have thought this is going to definitely get political. So Superposition wants to know, could the comics wilderness be like the political wilderness that those who want to work together for all the people are experiencing? And Mr.
Yes.
Sherman says it will probably be another right-wing nut job point of view. To which Coffee Cup said, I don't know about the nut job part, but since the right wing seems to be Santis's default position, it will probably be that. Hopefully it will not be a bizarro version of a Democrat.
Huh. Well, I mean, you know, and that goes back to exactly what I was just saying. If I'm right wing, and I tend to skew Republican, I skew conservative-ish, you know, I'm automatically a nutbag.
Well,
and look at what people
Cup
are saying.
You're not. He says, I don't know about the nut job part, but you're definitely right wing.
Well, thank you, Coffee Cup, for calling me saying I'm not nuts.
Not necessarily. Are always.
Oh, I'm just looking up at the monitors right now. We're just getting a breaking news story that Trump has said he will not campaign for Roy Moore.
Oh, wow.
So the grabber will not be going with the pedophile. Woot!
Woot!
Gee, that's something. That's one thing. One less thing to draw. Darn it. They always take my fun away, Janine. Why is that?
I know. I don't know.
Dang it.
It's a conspiracy.
So, yeah, no, this whole storyline was based on Bergdahl. It actually
But you're doing it much more lighthearted. You're not. It's very, he's getting like going to different comic strips, which is more an amusing thing.
It
it's not a.
You're giving away the coming week, Janine.
Well, they saw today's.
Yes.
They saw
it actually was a really fun week to write, the week that's running this week. Because I left a kind of a cliffhanger on Saturday. And then so starting now, well, and we'll talk about this next week's prick. But Ryan, I just want to just say I'm kind of happy with it because Dio then is like, he's been a, how long did I say he's been?
Years?
Oh, no, it's well over a couple. It's been a few years. And so he's being bounced around the different comic strips. So today he's it's Marmaduke, but we'll talk about next week all the other comic strips he goes to become a prisoner of.
And Sunday you did a just a little fun gag on Carmen ringing a bell,
which I didn't think people would get.
Well, we got a lot of comments. Or
she's ringing a bell. Comments? Just to describe, if you hadn't seen it, it's Carmen ringing a little bell, ding a ling ling, and Winslow's guy thud the butt out, and his mouth is fully, and he's drooling profusely, so his mouth is clearly full of saliva. So. You know, go ahead, Jenny.
Well, that started a political conversation.
Oh, good Lord. Oh, my God. Are you kidding?
Electric Shadow made a comment that knew how Pavlov treated the dogs in his experiment, she'd probably melt that bell. To which Kyle responded, Carmen is Republican. The empathy gene is mostly atrophied. And Jay Gray said, actually, Carmen is a conservative, which means that while she has empathy for others, she does not need to make excuses for their perverted behavior, nor does she think that it should be excused just because someone else says she should. You know, personal responsibility. To which Ignatz responds, yes, conservatives only make excuses for their own perverted behavior. Completely merciless about other people's failings and sins, though. But Robin Hood has a completely different view. He says, Scott rings the prickly city bell, and the political haters just start salivating.
Yeah, what a bizarre conversation. I have to admit that I just thought it was funny, and I really didn't think too many people would get it.
Oh.
Now, you've done a little research on this, and you know, Pavlov was not bad to his dogs. Is that?
Well, he was bad. He did other experiments on dogs that were not very nice.
Like what?
I didn't really get to look at it too much. Just something where he kind of made it so they couldn't eat. Not these dogs in this, but so that they kind of like removed the middle of their digestive system.
Oh.
For another study.
Okay. Well, you know.
But for this, he noticed that the animals in their lab started salivating as soon as they saw people in lab coats because they knew they would get fed. So that's what made him move into the bell, using the bell.
Okay. Well, I mean, so apparently not. Apparently, his other experiments. And okay, I won't go into the details other than that my friend of mine's father was head of surgery for the VA hospital in Madison, Wisconsin. And they used to, the second year surgery students would practice on dogs with the expectations they probably wouldn't survive the surgery. Just saying.
Yeah, well, when I took anatomy classes, we dissected cats and. I don't know if they died natural deaths or not.
I'm sure they were happy running around out in the farms, and they just passed away quietly, and then they were sent to be dissected.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, sure, let's go with that.
Donate.
Anyway, I'm hoping that's how you're doing this week, that you're running around your little farm, your little mental farms out there. Thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly Sea Podcast. Ginny, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Brian Altimer, our producer, thank you so much. And WGN Plus and WGN for providing all the equipment and the hospitality. And especially, thank you for listening. If you want to keep up with the antics of Carmen and Winslow, go ahead and go to gocomics.com/prickly city and go ahead and register. Seriously, it's free. You can actually get the newsletter. You can subscribe for free. It's all free. I mean, you can't beat free. And all they want is your, you know, contact information, which they haven't really been abusive of. So, I mean, because I've been a subscriber for years and they haven't been been bombarded with near this
things
no
just the thing, that's it, just the newsletter.
Yeah, we just get
a bunch
newsletter
of other stuff.
So do that, and if you want to leave a comment, maybe we'll read it here on the Prickly City Podcast. Also, if you want to contact us directly, we'd love to hear from you. At just shoot us an email at pricklycity@gmail.com. for all of us here at the Prickly City Podcast, thank you so much. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you again next week, and in the meantime, we'll see you in the funny papers.